Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel, chapter 4. This is God's Word. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it to me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, "Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me." These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant. And on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it, and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass by for him." The decision is announced by messengers, the holy ones, declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is a dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, also called Belshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, "Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you." Belshazzar answered, "My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals till seven times pass by for him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Was Nebuchadnezzar a good man or a bad man? He was a bad man. Was his life devoted to the worship of Almighty God? No, actually, he worshiped other gods that the Bible says are demonic. And the God who is God still gave him success. Enormous success. Fabulous riches. He was enormously successful by world standards, by the standards of history. He was a mighty ruler, and when he wanted to do something, by golly, he got it done. But God, in his mercy, warned him, "You need to give glory to the one who is God." He knew that Daniel had a special relationship with a very special God. But he didn't understand it at all. He was pretty clueless. As far as he was concerned, and he says it right here in this chapter, within Daniel were the spirits of the gods. Nope. You missed that question. That's not what was going on. What was happening was that Daniel was submitted to the spirit of the only God who truly is God. But that was totally foreign to Nebuchadnezzar, as it is to most people on earth today. including, tragically, many people who think that they are Christian. Because in order to avoid having to deal with the God who is God, we have substitutes. And generally speaking, there's not one substitute that will completely fill the bill for us. So we have actually a multitude of idols, a multitude of things that take up a place in our life that really only belongs to God. And so, even in recounting this story, even in acknowledging the greatness of the God who is God, you find Nebuchadnezzar explaining Daniel's name that he'd been given. He calls him Belshazzar, explaining that he's named for Nebuchadnezzar's God. Because even though Nebuchadnezzar believes there are multiple gods, he's got one he's loyal to. And it's not Daniel's God, but he names Daniel as if he's a servant of the false god that Nebuchadnezzar worshipped. Until you see it, you just don't see it. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, unless a man is born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Not only can you not enter in, you just don't get it. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says the unspiritual mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Just can't get it. But oh, when you see it, you can't unsee it. You can try and ignore it. You can try and distract yourself with a thousand different things. But down deep, you know. And down deep, ultimately, everybody knows. How will they hear without a preacher? Paul asks in Romans. But he also reminds us there is no place on earth where God isn't sending out a message, pointing people to him. You cannot possibly live on this planet as a sentient being and not recognize that there is a God who is behind it all. He is the creator. He is the designer. He is the ruler. And he is the judge to whom all of us will give an account. Every one of us is going to have to stand before him. Every one of us is going to have to face him. And the only hope is in Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And even though he didn't know God, God was speaking to him. And God always tells the truth. God told him that he was going to be cut down low for 7 years. And he would remain in that state of animalistic insanity until he acknowledged that God is God and that the kings of the earth are put in place by God. And God takes even the lowliest of men and makes them kings. If you want evidence of that, look at the history of this country we live in. It's like, well, yeah, I don't think he's going to be he's president. And it happens over and over. It's like, well, you know, this is crazy that we got this guy as president, but hopefully there'll be another election. We'll last long enough as a country to have another election, and then we'll get somebody good in here. Oh no, those are the two candidates? Oh, please. Oh, please. And it's like, why is this happening? Why doesn't somebody good run? Well, sometimes some good people run and America doesn't choose them. You know why? Because God is giving us the kind of sorry leadership that we, well, actually, it's better than we deserve. But what's crazy is that when people get into positions of leadership, power, success, not just the presidency of the United States, look at Vladimir Putin. Look at coaches of athletic teams. Look at quarterbacks and point guards and all kinds of people in all kinds of sports who think, I'm the greatest. You know, this, everybody can see I'm the best. But God has a way of humbling people. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he's able to humble. God hates arrogance. He hates it. What was it that got Satan kicked out of heaven? Lucifer, top angel. But that wasn't enough for him. Instead of using his abilities to praise and worship God, he wanted to be God. Why should we all be praising him? What about me? Do you realize how talented I am? God is not threatened by this, but every now and then God decides, enough. And somebody who was on top of the world suddenly finds that the world turns. And they're underneath everything. Underneath the earth. Guess what? You and I can't draw our next breath apart from God. But God allows his enemies to rail against him, to blaspheme him, to abuse and hurt others, to do all manner of evil until time is up. And suddenly, there is no escape. There is only one God. And you and I can't get a transfer to another universe. We got to come to grips with the God who is God. We got to learn to deal with him. Well, I'm afraid I've already offended him. You have. I mean, I've already done bad stuff. Yes, glad you know it. Well, what kind of penalty do I deserve? Hell. Oh, come on, I don't think I did anything that bad. That's why you deserve to be in hell. If you think you don't deserve hell, you deserve hell. Well, why would you say that? Because what you're saying is, God isn't that great that for me to repeatedly, over and over and over, spit toward him should be such a big deal. Well, then you just don't have a clue who you're talking about. We deserve to be destroyed. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not be destroyed, but will have everlasting life. Because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world would be saved. And so God says to a world that hates him, whosoever will may come. And the universal innate response of people everywhere is to say, no, thank you. I'm not going to bow to you. I've got my own gods. I'm more comfortable with them. They look more like me, I think. And God continues to invite and invite. So some people are just smarter than others. They, you know, kind of, they all of us, you know, they just, it's like, I see. If you see, it's because God has taken the blinders off your eyes. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And so God lifts up one and puts down another. And when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God." Jesus didn't say, "Peter, I knew you were smarter than the rest." He said, "You are blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So you're saying that basically our salvation is entirely dependent on God? Yes. "Well, I'm not sure I believe that." Well, I hope you'll get saved. Oh, come on. I'm telling you, the people who get saved are the people who realize they need to be saved and they cry out to God for mercy. If you know that you can't save yourself, you're a good candidate for salvation. If you think that you can fix this with just a little help from the big guy upstairs, you're not even close to the kingdom of God. But God even reaches out to people like Nebuchadnezzar, who was a ruthless, demon-worshipping king, and then after being warned, what did Daniel say to him? He said, you need to repent and show it by changed behavior. And Nebuchadnezzar skated along for a year. And then one day he walked out onto his balcony and he looked over the city where all these wonderful engineering projects had been managed by the people he put in charge. And he said, "I built all that for my glory." And God said, "Okay, we're done. I warned you." And he spent 7 years living like an animal, out in the fields, eating what animals eat. Nebuchadnezzar spent 7 years like that, until, as he says, "I raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I glorified the one who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing." Bow before God. Worship him. Allow him to take the gifts he's given you and use them for the good of people and the glory of God. God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need our help. But we were created for good works. There are things God wants us to do because he has chosen to work through us. And we need to do what he has given us to do and give all the glory to him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.